Hi everyone, I'm Lula.
And I'm Jude.
And welcome back to Just
Yay! And happy Halloween too, right?
Happy Halloween, happy Hollowodes,
Hollow
Yale.
Woads. Honestly, that's like
LOL.
one thing I'm not disappointed. I'm just
I'm
saying.
like, thank God. Esme texted me last night and she was like at Hollowodes right now thinking of you. And I was like, oh my God, thank God.
Also, just for the people that don't go to Yale, it's Hollowodes is like the Halloween like festival that like our local bar hosts, and it honestly
Festival.
it sucks. Yeah, festival is like it's just a party. It's like a club. It
It's
sucks.
just a bad bar. Like, there's nothing even, like, I guess there's a dance floor. I don't really know.
No, there isn't a dance floor. There's not even a bar practically. Like it's like
It's a
I don't know.
room. It's
It's a
actually a room.
that
It's
smells
a dark
bad
room.
and like feels grimy. Oh, I do not like it. Okay.
Yeah, bye, Hollow Oats. Okay, should we get into the episode?
Yeah, wait, real quick, do you know what you're gonna be for? Are you dressing up for Halloween or like
I
no?
don't think it's like not really a thing.
I know.
I don't
Less
know. Are you?
I don't know. I feel like very, very bad not doing it, but also it's not really a thing here either. And I'm not gonna be like giving candy out like in my hotel apartment to children
Yeah, like
either.
what am I gonna
So it's
be doing? If
like
I dress up, where am I going?
yeah, I don't know. So, okay. Highs.
Should we do it?
Yeah. So you're bringing in the topic,
Okay.
so I go first. Okay, my high is like really simple, but it's also like been a high for like multiple weeks on end, and I just haven't shared it yet. But I have been adoring cooking here. It is like, yeah, I mean, you and I cooked an incredible pad thai when you visited that
It
like
was so good.
it was so good. I still like have dreams about it. But also I've been cooking some pad see ew, some yellow Thai curry, a lot of Thai food. Like a
I was
lot.
gonna say, I'm like, this is a Thai restaurant.
Some like fresh pasta. Like I've been really like enjoying the like meditative and kind of like playful adventure of cooking. And to realize that I don't have to just do it on weekends like Friday and Saturday, but I can also do it on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Like it's so exciting because it's like I have to eat, so might as well chef up. Yeah, so it's been
That's
bringing
really
me a lot of
good.
joy, and I like put on an audiobook or a podcast, and I just whip something delicious up.
Hold that thought because we're going to circle back to that for our topic of the day.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to, uh-oh. But I'm so glad that that's your high and that you're sharing it. Because I've been like, I don't know. I feel like when I'm about to cook, it can usually feel like a huge task. Like, I'm just like, but I think that's because I don't give myself enough time before I'm like hungry to like start the endeavor. And then I'm like, oh no, I'm like so mad. Like, I'm so mad that there's not food right in front of me. I have a very big issue with being hangry. And so I'm trying to like divide my time better, leave more time to like enjoy the process of cooking rather than being like, this is do or die. But
I
yeah.
think the strategy for me there is like fantasizing about the meal I want way early in the day. Like,
Good.
I already know what I'm cooking tonight because I started thinking about that like probably while I was eating dinner yesterday because I was like it's just
Wow.
like I'm always thinking about what I want to eat. So it's just like, oh, so then I kind of am like, okay, well, I just want to eat it now, so I want to cook earlier than later, and then I eat. Like usually I finish cooking before I'm even hungry. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we made the pad thai, it was ready like 11 p.m. I mean, it
That
was
was,
so good, but I
but it
was
was the
like,
spring rolls that took the most time right there
true,
because we
true,
also
true, true,
made
true.
spring rolls.
True, true, true. That was so good.
So good. I want to do that again.
Okay,
Okay.
that's a great high.
What was your high?
My high. So the last few days, Caroline and I were in Paris.
Damn.
Just so fun. The specific high was that I don't remember what day it was. Maybe Tuesday? We spent, no, maybe Monday. We spent like 3 hours in Shakespeare and Company, like literally 3 hours,
Whoa.
which is a really tiny place. And
Yeah.
it was kind of like rainy out, so we were like looking for an indoor thing to do anyway. But I think we thought it was gonna be like, okay, an hour, like an hour and a half, we'll like wait out the rain. And then like the rain completely ended, and we were just like sitting in there, like browsing every single bookshelf and like picked up books and started reading them. We started doing little like book club things. We were like, okay, let's start. And like the top, oh, should I explain what it is? I feel like people know
You
what it
should, you
is.
know, you should explain what it is. And I also
Okay.
have so many questions already.
Yeah, it's like a really famous bookstore in Paris. It was, oh my God, I should have looked up more history. I think it was built by, I want to say Whitman, but let me look it up. Hold on, everybody. Pause.
Pause.
It's an independent bookstore. It's an independent bookstore in Paris. Let's see. Whitman. I was right. Did I say Whitman?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, created by George Whitman. Here's his quote. I created this bookstore like a man would write a novel, building each room like a chapter, and I like people to open the door the way they open a book that leads into a magic world in their imaginations. Cute. I'm pretty sure his daughter runs it now, but it's like a huge thing. It's not like a tiny bookstore. You go and there's like a line outside and blah, 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 blah. But it was a very important kind of like gathering place for a lot of prolific writers. I think there's always been like a bookstore element to it, but if it's like two floors, if you go up to the top floor, it's this like very small, classic, what you'd imagine of like old Parisian aesthetic, sort of like a living room area that's divided into three three smaller rooms. And it's very obvious that like authors gathered there and kind of had these like forums, or like, you know, there's like typewriters everywhere and there's like an old
So cool.
piano and like beds. It's very small, but there's a lot going on. And it just feels like it's like brewing with history. I don't know how else to explain it. And it is so conducive to just like wanting to sit and read all day, which I'm gonna go into more in the Buffalo. Okay, that's my
Okay.
high. What's your
Well,
low, Jude?
I mean, I really don't want to like bring the energy down, but I just feel like I need to because it has been actually my low of like my week and maybe even more. I mean, so I learned this morning about the shooting in Maine, in Lewiston, Maine. Where 22 people died. And I mean, first of all, it's just tragic. Like, let's just start there. And like, my heart goes out to the family and friends of everyone, right? And like, that's just like heavy. I think what was super sad to me about it was my reaction. Damn, I was not expecting to actually get emotional when I was talking about this, but
Oh.
like, I didn't really blink. I didn't really even like waste that much energy on feeling sad because it's just normal at now. And like, I think it didn't really click until I've been in Copenhagen being like, I mean, when I hear like a big sound or like a loud bang, like I never think it's a gun in Copenhagen. And I kind of have that like instinct now in America. And to just see how hopeless it is, like it's not even like a, oh, like there's gonna be a some protest and we're gonna get like finally things are gonna move. No, we know how this story ends. It's in the news, people talk about it, and then nothing fucking changes in America. Like there, it just it's a lost cause in some ways, and maybe that's like a lazy perspective, but it's a perspective founded on many, many years of evidence. And I don't know if America is in a better position to manage this huge epidemic of gun violence now than it was 5 years ago, right? Like, if anything, we're in a worse position. And that's really sad to just be a citizen of a country and be like, well, this is an awful, awful reality of where I live, and nothing's going to change, even though it's so obvious that we should change something. Like, no one is winning when 22 people are dying. Like, it was the 36th mass shooting of the year. Like, what? And for some reason, we're not talking about the other 36 that often. Like, I didn't even remember that. Definitely didn't know there were 36, and I didn't remember that many that happened. Like, that's just sad. So yeah, I don't know. It's just like appalling and tragic.
Yeah. I feel like I share your perspective in terms of it feels very hopeless. And yeah, I didn't even see that happened because I was looking at videos of beheaded babies in Gaza. Like, I don't know, trigger warnings, I guess. I mean, I don't even know. It's not a trigger warning thing. It's like so common. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm like speechless.
No, yeah,
I
I
think,
mean,
yeah,
yes,
it's
for good reason.
horrible. And yeah, I think my low is that I've been carrying around so much anxiety recently, and a lot of it has been about the conflict with Israel and Palestine. I think it's also really about America. Like, my anxiety is really about like the role that we are having. And I was gonna say that my low is that I feel like it's such a like, I don't know. It's so, I feel like it's not correct to not talk about it, because it's so important, and I feel so ill-informed, like regardless of how much I try to learn about it. And I feel like the majority of people are ill-informed, especially the majority of people our age who are talking about it. And that in and of itself is a low because I don't know. I don't know. I think it contributes, at least personally, to it all feeling, again, this word hopeless, like such a loss. Like, there's no, I haven't found a way to like communicate about it with anyone. I get like anything, even like not just this conflict, but even like the shootings you're talking about. I'm like, there's no way to encapsulate everything. It's so emotionally charged. It's also obviously such a sociopolitical issue. And it's, I don't know. It's like, I have literally no words. Like, I don't usually stutter this much. I'm like, I don't know what to say about any of it. And I have so many feelings about all of it that are so negative and so scary and make it so honestly scary to go back. Like, it's really crazy being in Europe and seeing everything going on in the rest of the world and seeing America's responses versus like Amsterdam. I don't know.
I just want to add one thing to this, which I mean,
Yeah.
this could we could go into like an hour and a half long con we could go forever on this conversation, so I don't want to like dwell too long on this point, but I think that like what you said right there actually was like hit me hard, which is just like it's hard to have these conversations and like talk about it. And like I feel like we have a very special relationship where we can talk about it, and like even if we may disagree at times about some topics, like we're allowed to push each other. But I would say that the majority of even in these like bubbles of people that I really care about and trust, and even who I think are intellectually honest, it's still really taboo to speak up and voice your opinion. Not what you're expected to say, not something that's based on just so many facts. And I think it's really important that when you're talking, you come from true understanding of the issue. However, at the same time, it's also important that we have real conversation, and that every single person, no matter what the topic is not disregarded as, oh, well, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, shut up. Because that adds to the polarization where like now I don't know who to talk about gun violence with. Like, I mean, we like I know that there's a lot of people that I guess share my sentiment of like guns are bad. And like I don't want to live in a world where like I can just get shot up. But at the same time, it's like, okay, like who am I supposed to have that conversation? Like, there was no place to have that conversation and like actually get things done. And I think that there's a lot of people in the world that like don't. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. It's such a hard. Specifically, gun violence is a really hard topic because I don't know what would have to change for America to want to change. Like everything that should have wanted America to change should have made America change. You know? Like, we've had it all. Like,
You mean like the like, for example, like amount of mass shootings should have made Americans want to change their policy?
yes, and when preschools get shot up, I think it's about time that we're like, oh, maybe we don't want our children being scared to go to school. Like, that's probably, like, in general, that's probably a good thing for a country not to have.
I mean,
Like,
even
it's
the
not.
fact that we have these lockdowns and that is not commonplace. Like, we've grown up with that. That's not a universal experience. You know what I mean? Like, I
Yeah.
don't know.
I went to a high school for in Denmark for a like field trip that we were doing, and I heard one of the kids behind me who is American say, "Oh my God, it doesn't look like a jail." And I was like, "Whoa, like that's intense. Like, why are our education systems beginning to look like jails? Not just feel like jails, but like actually like I don't know."
Sorry, because I'm like, where is our money going? Military. I
Yep.
mean, I know that's not the answer. That's like me being like, whatever, quippy, but like, oh my God.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry to like bring that down, like, and like bring the mood, but I do, it was really, it's weighing on me, and it's really sad that I'm appalled by all of it, and I'm really, really disappointed by my reaction. I just think it's just hard to like, these are such different topics. Like,
Yeah.
realistically, like a person going in and like shooting up a school or like shooting up a bowling alley, like, I mean, I think it's very different than a, I mean, I'm like, than a rich, rich, complex history that most people do not understand,
Yes, I agree with that.
and the resulting like war that is going on right now, right? So like,
Agreed.
I mean, like, yeah, and I think that like a lot of people read an article and are like, okay, well, I'm informed enough to now post about it. And I mean, to them, like, sure, do you? Like, I don't, like, I can't even, I don't agree that that's how I want. Like, I don't, I mean, I don't put, like, that's never been something I do. You know, I don't think that that's my platform on social media is for like spreading my political beliefs. That's not how I have ever really used that. I mean, I got a phone when I was 18, though, so. I think there's a natural cut point. I feel like we should move on, to be honest, unless you have any wrap-up thoughts. But
No, I think it's a important point to say that they're very different issues. I think that like it sounds like what is relating them is our feelings about our own reactions in terms of like moving on and in terms of like feeling hopeless about America or like the state of the world.
and a sense of powerlessness too, like
Totally.
that, like the best that one can do is post on social media. Like, is that really the best one could do? Like, no. But it's just like, I don't know what other things and avenues to like actually go and like make change, and not just like, because it doesn't feel like there's that much change that can be made. Okay, buffalo. I'm gonna lighten it up a little bit with my buffalo. There is a quote that I just adore, which is, "Why is it that all those who have been eminent in philosophy or politics or poetry or the arts are clearly melancholics?" Aristotle. And we learned the answer to this in my cognitive science of creativity class. And I just thought it was such a little cool tidbit. So basically, the general premise is that creatives in general need to be able to break rules and boundaries. I mean, like true creatives, and like not listen to the societal norms and not listen to the structure of what is quote unquote normal. And so what that means is their prefrontal cortex, which is a lot of like the frontal lobe that is doing a lot of the like keeping us in check and executive functioning, needs to be kind of a little bit more flexible, I'd say. And that is often related to dopamine and how dopamine is a motivator. So a neurotransmitter that's a motivator. So what their hypothesis is that creatives usually actually lack dopamine. It's not that they don't have any dopamine, but they just have like a deficit. And it allows their prefrontal cortex to kind of not function in the same way that everyone else's does, as like strict and stringent. I think those are just synonyms, so whatever. But like as everyone else. And so they actually may low-key be more deprimido and down bad, but they can be more creative.
So you're saying like the dopamine deficiency comes first.
Yeah.
It's like that is innate or yeah. something. Okay.
Yeah, that's like the hypothesis, which is kind of like it's starting to be proven. And it's I'm also just saying that like the miserable artist, you know, like the tragic artist is like low-key like an honest trope. Like,
yeah, like the trope is
neuroscience
fulfilled
behind that trope. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually very interesting.
I thought that
good
was
Buffalo.
A cool little, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, great. I'm like, checks. No, I think that's interesting. I remember you sent me that quote.
Yeah.
And it was after you and I did an episode that was I don't even remember when it was, but it was a lot about like reflecting. We were talking about like why people don't look into the past.
Probably.
Yeah.
Check that episode out. That was a great
episode.
Check
that episode out. And I think I responded and I was like, LOL, it's because creatives have to reflect.
Damn.
You know what I mean? Like, if you have to be like reflective, and then of course you're melancholy, then you don't have dopamine. No, I don't know. That's funny though. Not funny.
Yeah.
I'm like laughing out of discomfort. I don't know. That's like interesting. Good Buffalo shoot.
It's a bullseye. It's just
bullseye.
Like,
okay.
I'm scared about your topic.
No, it's good. I think you're really gonna like it. So I said to bookmark your thought from the very end of your high about like you were cooking, listening to audiobooks, podcasts, whatever. And I'm also obviously talking about reading a lot. So my Buffalo is about reading culture. No.
I quit the pod.
So funny because this was my reaction. You were like, we're doing self-driving cars. And I was like, ah. Okay. So we're doing reading culture. This is how you and I are so different. Honestly, let me say, this format of like we each bring in a topic has made it so glaringly clear that like, yes, we share the same like innate whatever, I don't know, how our brains work, but like,
but our
how our interests manifest is like, what do we have in common?
Okay,
so we're going to talk about reading.
Okay.
So
hit me, Lula.
Here's the thing. It's going to be interesting to you. You're going to like
it.
You're going to be engaged.
I'm already in. I'm engaged.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about this because I have been reading more in the past few days because I think being in Shakespeare & Co. really inspired me or like, reminded me of my love for reading and how like calming it is. I think part of that was because I was surrounded by, yes, some tourists who just wanted to see the building, but also a lot of people who were just sitting in these like living rooms in the attic reading. And I was like, I love these kinds of people. And I love seeing people so locked in to a book and like, that's how you spend your time instead of scrolling or whatever it might be. I think it's so, there's some element of like escapism, like your brain's kind of transported to this other world. I think there's a creative element, at least when I read, of like thinking about the writing or like, whoa, this line really hit me. Like my brain usually goes to thinking about the author and like who they are or why they would write something like that, whatever. And I also really love that people read for different reasons. And there are so many different types of books, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So I'm trying to think of like how to start this combo because there's a lot of different routes to go down. I think one of the reasons I really wanted to talk about it with you is because we have this ongoing joke about like reading versus audiobooks.
Let's be clear. The
And
joke is that I can't read.
that's not the joke. I think it's that like you can read. Let's be clear. Let's be clear. Jude Sack can read.
But he's
Do you want to talk about your audiobook experience?
like sure, I can like briefly give a background of my reading vibes.
Thank you.
I think I've always hated reading.
Okay.
There's been like two series in my life that I've enjoyed reading, the Cherub series and Harry Potter, and even those I really didn't like that much. I mean, I love Harry Potter, but I like listening to Harry Potter more than reading Harry Potter.
Okay.
It's rooted in like a deep-seated, I think, insecurity and trauma from like elementary school and first and second and third grade when I, well, maybe second grade when I was like really late to reading and I didn't, my brain just didn't work like that. And I don't have dysgraphia, but, oh no, wait, I have dysgraphia,
Whoa.
but I don't have
Like
dyslexia.
revising history.
There
Okay.
we go. But so I don't have dyslexia, but I've always thought I've had dyslexia. And I really just I'm a slow reader. And my mind wanders a lot when I'm reading. I just don't find it enjoyable. Like I always find it feel like so much work. And then I came across audiobooks and I was like, oh shit. I don't have to like read, I can like listen.
Right.
And the rest is history.
And you like audiobooks, right?
Yeah, I love audiobooks. I listen to a
Okay.
lot of audiobooks.
Can you give a quick, like, what is dysgraphia for the listener? Because I don't think I really knew what it was until you were like, I have dysgraphia.
I
And I was
mean,
like, nice to meet you.
to be honest, dysgraphia, like, I don't know. It's a bit like, okay, people joke that it's just bad handwriting, which it does affect your handwriting. But it's also just like the it like is a I, let me actually look it up because I don't fully understand what it is. It changes the it's a way it's a strange way of like produce like transcribing like your thoughts into like verbal and written like sentences, if that makes sense. Let me see if
Yeah.
that's what it is.
I feel like when you told me you had it, you were like, this is why I talk and type so fast.
Well, I type this that I type fast and aggressively because I had to learn how to type because I had such bad handwriting when I was younger. So
Interesting.
I was like
Okay.
allowed to type because of dysgraphia is a neurological disorder characterized by writing disabilities. Specifically, disorder causes a person writing to be distorted and or incorrect. Yeah, I mean it's not compared to dyslexia, I find it a far less like intense dis like learning disability.
Okay. Good to know.
So like I don't think dysgraphia plays that much of a role in my reading experiences.
But I think it does completely make sense that you're saying you think some of your like dislike for reading has to do with like childhood,
Insecurity.
yeah,
Yeah,
or trauma
no.
from teacher, whatever, that all lines up. You're
That
like
I,
perfect.
yeah, that I 100% believe.
Okay, so here's where I do my apology to Jude on
What? I get
air.
an apology? No
I did
way.
research
Oh my God. This is
because
so
I looked
exciting.
up why do I hate people who listen to audiobooks? Just kidding.
Damn.
But I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I will say, just to share, I much prefer physical books. I much prefer reading to audiobooks, but I love listening to podcasts. And I've loved listening to audiobooks on like long drives or road trips. Like, I
Okay.
totally get it. I
You
think it
just
just,
prefer reading if you
yeah,
can.
if I have the option, I'm like, love to be holding a book and like writing in it, whatever. So I looked up some of the effects of reading versus audiobooks. Sorry to say, there are none. Just kidding. But there are really very few.
Oh.
I was like, have had this notion that if you're listening to audiobooks instead of reading, you're like not paying as much attention, you're not getting as much out of it, like you're processing less. I think that's probably because a lot of my own whatever experiences, bias, I just like need background noise at all times. So when I think about an audiobook, I'm like, I'm not actually tuned in. But here we go. While listening to books activates the part of the brain responsible for language processing. Okay. And reading a book activates more areas responsible for visual processing. Both activities engage semantic processing of information in the same areas of the brain. Okay, there are all these studies where people like take a quiz after reading a book versus listening to a book to measure how well they absorb the material, and there are no significant differences in comprehension
Wow.
in any of the studies. This says between
Wow.
reading, listening, or reading and listening simultaneously. This part I actually found really interesting. There's a lot of like studies on do audiobooks actually like improve mental health? So this says individuals dealing with anxiety or depression can substitute negative thoughts with captivating stories through audiobooks
Oh, that's
because
interesting.
listening helps create a more like sense of calm, satisfaction rather than just reading because your mind can, like you said, can wander more when you're actually reading than when you're listening, which is counterintuitive to what I thought. This also says, like, moreover, audiobooks can provide a respite from stress by inducing laughter and humor. This can benefit anyone, not just those struggling with mental health issues. I know we talked about this before on the pod, but I listened to Crying in H Mart and what was Jeanette McCurdy's memoir? I'm Glad My Mom Died. Both of those were read by the author, and I was so glad they were because I was
Yeah.
like, I understand this a lot more, especially when it's a memoir and the person who wrote it can like read it with the where they wanted like humor to land, like
Totally.
where they wanted it to be serious. Like it just made a much more sense. So I get that. Also, this is interesting. Audiobooks are much supposedly better or more helpful for people with ADHD because listening lets people use hearing and talking parts of the brain, which
Ah,
helps you
that's
pay
interesting.
attention better. You're like reducing stimuli. So I thought all that was interesting. And then
Okay.
I'm like, I'm sorry, Jude.
All right. I appreciate the apology. I appreciate it. It warms my heart to hear it.
Okay.
I'm gonna respond to all three of those things. Okay. Let me start with
Okay.
the simplest one, which is just the narrator like voicing their own books or
Yeah,
like the
yeah, yeah.
writer. I so agree. It's like honestly the best way to listen to audiobooks is having the author read the book. And there's no better example than that than Trevor Noah's Born a Crime. It is like the only like I don't really care if you listen to audiobooks or if you read books. Like I don't have the like judgmental thing that a lot of book readers
Sorry.
have. No, I mean I think it's not
Sorry.
just you. It's not just you. I
Yeah, I
get
know.
that reaction a lot. But it is the one book out there that I feel so strongly that no matter what, it is just gonna be better if you listen to it. So highly recommend that.
Okay.
In regards to comprehension, I mean, I've always been, I guess, like a little concerned or insecure that comprehension for audiobooks is not as good as reading comprehension. So I'm like to hear that science, like that excites me.
I like to hear that.
I will say that my defense, whenever that came about, was that, like, for me, the mind wandering when I read was m is was is more detrimental. I still read a little bit, guys.
Okay.
Okay, Jude. Is detrimental to me, or is more detrimental than whatever mind wandering might happen if I'm like doing another activity while I'm listening to a book. So like if I'm cooking and I'm listening to a
Interesting.
book, of course my attention's gonna maybe be a little divided at points, and I'm gonna maybe be focused on chopping onions and
Yeah.
not gonna listen. But whatever I miss there is gonna be a lot less than whatever I miss when my mind starts wandering and when I'm reading a book. So yeah, I mean that's my comprehension, and it's interesting that like, I mean, the thing that comes up for me, which I just am gonna be honest here, is like I think some of it is also tied with time efficiency.
Oh, don't you worry. We're gonna get into this.
Okay, because that's like I think the like honestly the only like unhealthy part for me about audiobooks is like I feel like everything that like everyone's like critique of like oh my God like comprehension or like you're not using that muscle of your brain or whatever it is, it's like okay, like I'm okay with that. The time thing is a
Sure.
little more
That's
prickly.
worrisome.
Yeah.
That's popping up. Okay. That transitions us perfectly. So something bigger that I wanted to talk about with you, because we're obsessed with talking about productivity, time management, thinking of things like to-do lists, etc. I've talked about this a lot with Esme, my sister, because she has been doing this much longer than I have. And I've always been like, what the heck are you doing? How is this possible? And then recently started talking about it with Caroline. But it is the practice of reading more than one book at a time. Or like engaging, whatever, listening. I don't really think the form matters, but like consuming more than one book at a time.
Yep.
And so my question for you first is, have you ever done that? Or do you do that?
Not really.
Okay. Do you have thoughts on it, like initially, before I'm like, here's the research?
I mean, I think it sounds overwhelming and not that enjoyable because there are definitely times where I feel like there are a lot of books. This is also part of the my issue with reading is that like there are a lot of books that I don't really enjoy that much, but I still feel like once I start them, I have to finish them.
Same.
Like I want to like check it off. And doing that with like three different books at a time just does not feel like it would work with my brain. Cause I'd be like, okay, well, I really like this book, and then I'm listening to that book, and I'm listening to it probably a lot more than the book that I don't like.
Sure. Yeah.
And then if the new book joins, I'm probably gonna keep listening to the new book and never really finish the book that I might not like that much.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like my initial reaction.
So that was also my initial reaction. Esme, I think she told me this like 3, 4 years ago. My younger sister, by the way. Like
Shout out, Esme.
shout out Esme. Huge shout out. Miss you. Happy birthday. She reads a lot of books. I think like not like three maybe at a time. And when I asked her about it, she was like, it makes me actually get through all the books faster because the reading becomes more intuitive. So it's like, for example, say you're watching three TV shows at once, and one of them is like serious, docu-series, whatever. One of them is like a comedy that you want to watch, like when you're eating a meal. I don't know. And one of them is like a boring cooking or house show that you want to watch, like before bed because it puts you to sleep. She was like, if you have books like that for different purposes, you will read them more intuitively because they're associated. Like when you're feeling like you are
Oh.
interested in reading this or consuming this, you'll pick it up. Instead of like, say, this is a book I don't like to read, but I feel like I have to finish it because I started it, and now I
Got
just
you.
hate reading.
Okay, wait. I
You know what I mean?
wait, I kind of buy that argument.
Right. It's pretty convincing. It's pretty
The
convincing.
only caveat on that in my head is like podcast. It's like whenever I don't want to listen to a book, I'm like, okay, well, let's see what podcasts I have out there. But
Yeah.
that is different.
It's a different form of, I mean, they're also
Damn.
different
Wait, am I
types
gonna
of
start
podcasts.
doing two books at a
Right.
time?
Right. So she told me that, and I was like, bruh, shut up. And then I started doing it, obviously, is where this conversation's flowing. So right now, I would say I'm reading four books, I
Oh.
would say. And I also,
That's
it's
a
important
lot
to
of
say that that is
storylines.
not like intentional, really. I was reading A Little Life, which we talked about a lot in episodes from the summer. Super depressing, heavy book. I brought it with me to Amsterdam and I was like, I simply cannot read about this while I am living in a new place alone. And so I haven't picked it up since the summer, since like August. And that to me, we'll get into this with the whole productivity, time efficiency thing, is a bit like, ugh, it's a bit of a drag. Like, I wish I would be finished with it. I kind of like
Yeah.
get annoyed with myself that I'm not just finishing it and that I moved on to other books.
I also don't feel like you're gonna go back to it, low key.
I don't know. Like, I'm like, when is a good time to start picking up a book that's going to make me depressed? Dot, dot, dot. So then I started reading this like book of short essays, We're Never Meeting in Real Life, which you also talked about. That has a different purpose. Then I started reading All About Love, which I like was reading with Caroline, then had to read for class coincidentally. Now we're still reading it. Obviously, that fulfills a different sort of like bucket than the other two books. Now I'm also reading the secret history book, which is like fiction murder mystery vibe. All to say, it fits into Esme's like narrative of the having different genres at once. You know what I mean? It's not like you'd be reading three self-help books at the same time.
Well, yeah, but then this is probably my other issue. I'm
Yeah.
probably just gonna, so like I really read self-help books, right?
Yeah, sorry, that was not meant to be
Yeah, not to target me, but
indirect.
like in general, that's kind of my genre.
Yeah,
Goes
that's
back,
real.
yeah. But it's like, okay, so am I just gonna like switch between like it's just
I
like,
know.
you know, like I don't, I if I now if I take a fiction book, which I've started like kind of intermixing because I'm trying to like get myself to like
Yeah.
want to
Dabble.
listen.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm dabbling. I'm dabbling.
No,
I sound so crazy in this episode.
it's good.
but nevertheless, well, I'm probably gonna just choose fiction every time.
Over self-help.
Because I feel like fiction is easier to like immerse yourself into. Like once you get into the story, like you're kind of in the story.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm like started reading The Secret History this week, and I've already read more of it. Like, no, that's not the way to put it. If I read as much of that book as I, if I put as much time into reading Secret History into All About Love, I would be finished with All About Love by now. Like, do you know what I mean? I've
Yeah.
read 50 pages of Secret History instead of finishing the last 50 pages of All About Love. That to me, there is a part of it that gets like, I get annoyed with myself. And I think this kind of is leading us into the whole like productivity to-do
Yeah, I
list
mean, I think that's
time
like the
combo.
most complex part of this conversation.
So I was doing research on this, if it's like actually helpful. Helpful is not even really the right word, but like, if you
Useful.
can, yeah, useful, sure. If you can like read multiple books at once and still like retain the information from all of them in terms of just like keeping track of the storylines, the narratives, whatever. A big counter, like a big argument against this practice is that you won't be getting as much out of any of the books individually as you would if you were reading one at a time. Also, the reason I keep using the word practice is because all the research I did says that like reading like this literally is a practice. Like it's something you practice. Like I kept seeing the analogy of like you can be really good at like multiple sports at once, but you need to like train yourself to
Yep.
actually like sustain that at a healthy level in a way that's useful. And it's the same with books. Like you can't go from reading one book at a time to like six and be like, I can keep track of everything. Anyway,
That's
a
interesting.
lot of this is a big part that I've been thinking about that I want to hear your thoughts on. A lot of the like websites and research and articles I found about advocating for reading multiple books at once was like, it's completely possible if you track it. Like they were like the best way to like keep yourself kind of like accountable, quote unquote, for finishing all the books is to use like a reading tracker and to like be able to see like when you started one book, like if it's been sitting on the shelf for 4 months and you just keep reading other ones over it, like how does that make you feel? Blah 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 blah. I have a lot of thoughts, but I want to hear what you have to say about trackers. Do you use them? Are you like this is playing into a whole red flag?
Like, I mean, I just can't do it to myself. I can't add another tracker to my life for like something that
Okay.
I don't feel that strongly about. I do have one for my books in my Notion that like I don't really use. Like, I like say when I finish a book and I rate it, but like, I mean, I'm not like saying when I started or anything. So I guess I do, but I don't find that useful. And I'm not like, oh, like, I mean, I have so many books people recommend to me that I haven't, like, I'm a super, even with audiobooks, I'm a super slow reader. It's just not my priority. Like, I'd rather listen to
Yeah.
podcasts. There's an impatience to it. And yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like,
So,
I mean, it's just like, why are you, especially for people that like reading and like find like the cuddling up with the book and like, oh, I'm gonna have my tea and it's gonna be cute and aesthetic and I'll take a quick TikTok video. Like that, like, why are you gonna add Notion to that? You know? Like that just doesn't sound healthy.
I love it. But here's my thing with it, though. I So I've had like I call it a library. I've had my Notion library since like, I don't know, freshman year of college probably I started it, like winter break or something. But what always gets me is that like I feel like a lot of the avid readers I know use Goodreads or an app or website like that that is actually like public kind of domain. I don't know if that's the right phrase to use, but it's like a
People can
form
see
of
it.
like, yeah, it's tracking and reviewing things you've read publicly, and it kind of has a public purpose. And that to me makes it a negative experience. It would, I haven't used it, so I can't say it does, but there's something in my head that keeps stopping me from getting anything like that. And I think a big part of it that I talked about with Caroline earlier is that I think she actually said this. Let me not take her words. She was like, I don't want to see people's reviews before I read a book.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like,
Yeah, I get
because
that.
it'll like taint, you know what I mean? And I was
Yeah,
like,
it'll
yeah,
like
because then the
affect
whole
her
time I'm
experience.
reading, yeah, I'm like comparing it to what I feel like I should be thinking of what I'm reading. And I think there's something very like interesting and kind of scary that happens with apps like that when it becomes like a product, simultaneously like a productivity thing, like how much am I reading compared to other people, and also becomes a weird sort of like shopping slash like social media experience. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, not
And
really,
I
because I
think
don't go on people's Goodreads. Like, I don't ever,
I
like,
don't either,
I don't
but I
even know what
think
that would
I'm
mean. You know what I mean?
imagining. I think you can see how many books people have read. You can see how they rated them. I feel like if I was on that, it would make me feel like I should be reading more or I'm reading the wrong things. I need to talk to someone who actually uses Goodreads. Not like I shouldn't be talking to you,
Yeah.
but I'm like,
Get
I
rid
need
of
to
the kid
hear,
who doesn't know how
I
to
need
read.
to hear the perspective of someone who's like, I don't know. I feel like it would like totally taint my experience reading. Like, I think there would just be so many different, like, I don't know,
I have
comparing
such
it
a
to the other
different question.
person.
I'm
Okay,
like
what?
totally going
Go.
off rogue here, but do you read when you're at school?
No,
Okay.
because
So this
there's
is
too,
like a
that was a
study
whole,
abroad thing and summer.
well, I think it's more like, more accurately, it's like a not school thing.
Yeah.
And
Or like
that
a
makes me
happy
really
thing.
sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it because I was like, it's so, I get so much joy and like calm out of it. And it's so frustrating to me. It reminds me of how like a lot of professors will be like, I know I'm assigning you more than you can read. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like, we've talked about this so much
so
on the
many times.
pod.
Yeah,
When like Yale professors will be like, I know the reading list is too much, et cetera, go forth. And I'm like,
good
what?
luck.
And yeah, literally, like break a leg. And I think it's really like made me mad thinking about it this week beyond what we've talked about before, because I'm like, what about leisure reading? Like, how am I supposed to balance reading with the syllabus that's already
You're not.
beyond anything that's possible? You're not.
No, you're not.
And that makes me so upset. That makes me so sad.
Yeah. I mean, that's
Okay,
disappointing.
I need to circle back really quick
Yeah, sorry, I
to
didn't
the
I just that
Notion
was just the
thing.
rogue.
No,
Yeah.
that's good. That's important.
Tell us,
So
Lula.
I do love my Notion. So here's my thing, guys.
Tell us.
I have this library. It's an incredibly comprehensive literal bookshelf of everything I put in, like when I started, when I finished. I rate them out of stars. I have the type of book it is. I have a little cute picture of the book cover, and it looks so adorable. And I literally feel like I'm in a little fake world.
Do you have the
And when
author?
I finish the book, yes,
Oh, she
thank
has
you.
everything. Damn.
And then when I finish the book, I like make each little bookshelf thing its own page so I can like write down either like quotes I really like from it or like takeaways or like why I would want to go back to it. And it's so like fun. I don't even know how else to, like, I sound like such a nerd saying that, but I feel like normally that sort of thing would scare me in terms of like, I feel like I'm just doing it for like productivity or for like checking it off. And I feel like that's why I get very avoidant about like Goodreads or whatever else it is. And for some reason, there's something about Notion being like, just my own thing. Like, I know that only I am looking at it. And so I'm like writing it for myself. And when I look at it and I see that I have like four abandoned books, I'm like, oh, well, didn't like those, I guess.
I also feel like there's probably something to be said about like you getting to decide what information you put in. And like it's like a process. It's not just like looking up a book for like in a database that like is already pre-made for you. Like you get to make it when you're done with the book or et cetera.
All to say,
All to say.
not sponsored, but
But
affiliate.
what?
Okay, dude, can you talk about it?
I mean, yeah, basically Notion is the like creative software that Lula and I use both to like structure our lives, our like literally every aspect of our lives, right? Like that's not an exaggeration.
Independent of the pod. We've been
The
talking about this
podcast.
for like years.
Yeah, like since
Yes.
episode one, but the podcast, schoolwork, our books, our recipes, like literally everything in our life.
Creative projects.
Yeah, everything is in my Notion. Everything is in Lula's Notion. And it's like my favorite brand ever, as well as Lula's maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dare I say.
After
Yeah.
soft after Shakespeare and Co. Basically,
So.
here's the spiel, okay? And we're gonna get through this together because this is our first one. We'll get better, okay, guys? But in general, Notion has really cool new updates with AI and things that you can do with AI, which scares Lula to have you ever used the Notion AI?
You don't have to. Fuck no. You don't have
Okay,
to.
and I do, and it's awesome. But
Analog and Ocean.
you're supposed to say yes because that's the only way we make money.
Okay, sorry. Guys, I love Notion AI. I
There we
think you
go.
should all try it out.
Caught red-handed.
Okay.
I'm literally gonna cancel you. Click the link in our
Okay.
episode description to get a discount on Notion Premium and also help your fellow friends out. I don't know. I don't know. This is a messy ad read.
This was actually unplanned. I like wanted to talk about my Notion library anyway because I was like, this is an important part of how I think about reading books. Like, I get so much joy being like, oh my God, I started a new book. Let me log it. Like, it's
How
so
about this?
fun.
W
Anyway.
wait, will you? I think we can make your template here, like just to like keep this fair for our listeners and see if people who are even interested. Maybe we make your template. Maybe not the books you're reading, because I know you don't want to like share that with the world, because that's like part of the thing you like is that it's private. But you can
Yeah,
still share the
true.
template publicly, and listeners can go check it out and see if they like it. And it's free to create a Notion account. Go make a Notion account if you don't have one. If not, just like do it and just test it out and see if you like it. And then if you start getting hooked and you're like, oh my God, I really like this program and I want to get a premium version, then use the Just Friends affiliate link and get yourself a nice little upgrade using it. Not just with AI, but AI is there. That's the only thing that I'm really excited by though, because like that's why I have it, you know? But there's plenty of
I'll
other things you
share
can get.
my entire Notion. Okay, guys? My templates.
You'll
So
share your
you
templates? That's crazy.
not now,
Oh,
not
okay.
now. If you are interested, if there's interest,
Yeah.
I will share so we can see beyond just the AI because the AI is cool, but that's also new. And Jude and I have been using it for like, dare I say, years at this point.
Loki, I'll
Have
go
you
and
been? I've been
I'll ma
using it for years.
Yeah, since you got me hooked in freshman year. I'll go
Woo!
as far as well and say that I'll share all of my restaurant lists from all the different cities. 'Cause I like basically log the best dishes and like all the best restaurants in like Seattle, New York, New Haven, all of it, and Copenhagen. So, that's what I can promise.
If you were wondering if we were neurotic, here's your
All
confirmation.
right. Well, that was the episode. That episode was just a
thank you guys for listening.
I have a different. I'm sorry. I just like keep coming. I feel very unsatisfied by the productivity conversation because I don't feel like we actually like got to the crux of like what I'm struggling with. So I kind of want to go
Go.
back to that. Is that okay? I know we're like
Please.
I also have to
Yeah.
like leave somewhat soon, but like I don't know. I think there is something to be said about disregarding the comprehension. There's something to be said about cuddling up and your favorite blanket, having a cup of tea and reading a book. I think that's really, really like a special time. And I think that because I listen to audiobooks and don't really read, I don't have that. I never make that time for myself. I'm like cooking while I'm listening to an audiobook, or I'm like biking to school and listening to an audiobook. And To be honest, I won't make that time in my head. Like, if I'm gonna ever be like snuggly cozy up, I'm gonna be watching a TV show. But I really like the idea of reading and like doing it. Do you have any like tips to like get me to like it, I guess? Like, it just
Tips
feels
and
it
tricks.
does feel kind of like a waste of time for me. Even though
Interesting.
in my head it's like, oh, but that could be satisfying. It could be a satisfying waste of time.
I mean, I think, well, first, I think it's interesting to be like waste of time versus productive. Like, there's something in between there, to me at least. You know what I mean? Like, waste of time versus productive are so like the ends of the spectrum. I'm like, there's some sort of, it, actually, this is so interesting that you said that because I was reading the other day, like 2 days ago, and I was like, am I bored right now? And I was like, no, because I'm like being stimulated by this book. But it, in my head, I was like, it's sort of similar to when I'm like, I wish that I could be okay just like sitting and like, not like meditating, also not like wanting to die of boredom. Somewhere it
In between.
combines elements. Yeah, it's
Just kind of
very like,
being.
yeah, just kind of being. And like the book for me is like a really good way to like be without fucking media being involved. Like, I think there's part of, I don't know, like I've been thinking so much recently about how like our downtime, like as whatever society is, Gen Z specifically, is to like open Instagram or TikTok. You know what I mean? Like, that's the escape. It's not escaping at all. It's incredibly stimulating. If you think about like sitting down and like doom scrolling for like 30 minutes versus like sitting down and reading for 30 minutes, your mind is going to feel much clearer from the latter than the former.
But
Right.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, other than I don't know what the like why I can't like this. It's more an internal thing that I'm grappling with. I just don't know why I can't like find enjoyment in sitting and reading a book. Other like it's separate from
Yeah.
my like trauma stuff. It's like I don't really get why like the idea of like, oh my God, it's such a waste of time. Because it's not, because I also like enjoy reading or listening to books. Also, I get shamed when I say reading for listening. Like, when I say, oh, I'm reading a book, even though I'm listening to it. So, y'all, like,
By me.
yeah, by one person.
Sorry.
Okay,
I'm
wait, this
trying to
is
be
going,
better.
the conversation is going off the rails. We also have been going for like an hour and a half. So,
Yeah, it's gonna be
let's,
so good to edit.
yeah, so we need to
I
wrap it
think,
up.
okay. I think, I don't know. You asked for tips and tricks. I think on the one hand, there might just be people who don't like reading, and you might be one of them. Like, I don't know. I think that might just be a difference we have. I think it's helpful to think about it. Like getting rid of the waste of time narrative for one. And I also think it's helpful to like romanticize it. Like you're saying, you keep using the whole like cozy up like anecdote. Like, I think there's just, if you can find like a story you're really interested in, like you talked about fiction being more like, I don't know the word you used, but like easy to kind of get like, what did you
Stuck
say?
in. It's not. That's
Yeah.
not what I said. But yeah, like.
That sort of thing. I think that there is truth. Like, and read, even what if you like read a book that was like became a TV show or a movie? No, you don't like it.
No, like I just know that like makes me so like no, just watch the fucking TV show.
But I'm like, dude,
Or
what?
read the book slash listen to it, which is what I would do. I mean, I honestly like the only time I'm reading is for class. And even for class, by the way, for anyone who doesn't like reading, naturalreaders.com has become like the most helpful for me to like enjoy my readings again at school, because they take PDFs and put them in like have a voice over, like it basically makes them into audiobooks. And I read along with it, but just having that voice makes it so much more engaging for me. So shout out to Natural Readers as well, even though that's like,
Okay, so instead of tips and tricks for how to enjoy reading again, we're like, get natural readers.
Yeah, basically,
Second sponsor.
second sponsor. No, basically, it isn't a sponsor, just to
Good
clarify.
takeaway is like, at least what we were just talking about, regardless of the form, reading, listening, etc., it's really a great, helpful alternative to like immediately switching on our phones the second that we're like, we have a second of downtime, especially what we were talking about earlier with our lows. While staying informed, it's also increasingly feels important to like get off social media right now. I feel like there's, I don't know, that's been part of my like in the back of my head this whole time we've been talking. So yeah, there's so many books, there's so much stuff to read. Authors are amazing. Shout out all authors.
Shout out all authors.
The end. The end.
Okay. Well,
happy Halloween.
Happy okay. Well, thank you so much for listening, you all. We will see you next Sunday.
Love you.
Bye.